We are back with another Stampede Blue Colts cast here. And tonight, what we're doing, folks, is we are setting up a bunch of scenarios that we've kind of looked at. And I'll even say that Steven really kind of threw together for us, because we've been wanting to look at these different scenarios. Who's off the board? What do we do? Do we trade back? Do we take the pick? Do we, you know, what do we do with who's off the board? Who's left? You know, what are the scenarios as far as what are the comparable picks that we could possibly get from a team that's willing to trade up to take that number six pick? So we've got six scenarios here that we're going to go through with you guys tonight. We're going to talk about these. Thought this would be fun. First and foremost, Steven, how are you tonight, buddy?
I am doing well tonight, my friend. How are you?
Good. Very good. I had to get a shot in my foot today, though, dude. And that, believe it or not, didn't. Yeah, I've had it in my heel, and that hurt like hell, right? But I've had this one in my ankle in the front, kind of just above the foot, and it didn't really hurt. I mean, at all, actually. You know, it didn't.
Really?
No, it wasn't too bad. He used this nifty little thing that they spray. It was like an air gun, you know, those things you clean your keyboards off with? Yeah. And it freezes your skin, and then he stuck that, like, 3-inch needle in between like some cartilage and stuff. And yeah, it didn't,
I have no interest in that.
Yeah, no, I didn't either, but it really didn't hurt. Yeah. And I need it, 'cause I walk 13 miles a day every day at work. So that's something that I need to do if I plan to ever retire. So, anybody else wants to talk about
get a scooter?
yeah, we really should, man. You have no idea how much I would love one of those. So, we're going to have to save this for the What Do You Really Do as a Real Job podcast, and that's not this. So we are here tonight to talk all these scenarios with you guys. Appreciate you guys coming along. So, Steven, you got these up in front of you as well, my man, right? There it is again, my man. Yep. I do say that too much. That's all right. You know what? If you don't like it, don't listen. So why don't you go through your flavor here? Which one of these is the first one you want to bring up?
Okay, so basically what I did in preparation for this show, we wrote down about six scenarios in terms of what happens with the top five picks and where the Colts would sit with that. So basically the first two scenarios are when two quarterbacks are gone and then three non-quarterbacks are gone. The third and fourth scenario, when three quarterbacks are gone and two non-quarterbacks are gone. And the fifth and sixth scenario are when four quarterbacks go and one non-quarterback goes in the top five. And so basically you kind of break them down and you say, okay, which one of these things is most likely? You know, from listening to Chris Ballard's press conference the other day, he kind of expects the four quarterbacks to go in the first four round. That's to be the least likely option. And so those would probably be the easiest ones to break down to start. So why don't we just start there and just work our way back to front?
Sounds good. You start us off. Yeah. What do you want to get into? Which one?
All right, so we'll start with the one scenario where you've got the four quarterbacks going first, going picks one somewhere in the top five, and then the one non-quarterback you want is Saquon Barkley.
Okay, start from the bottom.
Saquon Barkley.
Okay.
At that point, at six, it's a pretty much a no-brainer for the Colts. So we'll just get this one out easy, and it's probably going to be Bradley Chubb.
Right.
Because, I mean, we all know that they need an edge rusher, and that seems to make the most sense. I don't think there is a trade offer that anybody can give the Colts that would get them to move off that. And I don't think anybody's going to trade up at that point with all four quarterbacks gone.
Yeah, I agree. It kind of takes away some of the reasoning for them to kind of move up, because nobody's going to really trade up for Lamar Jackson, I don't think. I mean, not that high anyways.
And the other thing to consider is at that point, with four quarterbacks gone, you've got to think that either the Giants took a quarterback, or Cleveland traded out, right, or Denver traded out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, two of those three things had to have happened for there to be four quarterbacks. So the teams like Miami, Arizona, Buffalo, the Chargers maybe, that are trying to get up to maybe get a quarterback, then they're already out of it. Pretty much. So that area that Chris Ballard would be looking to trade into, staying where he would have that premium player still available to him, is pretty much whittled away. So anybody that would be trading up for Lamar Jackson is not going to be in that realm that Chris Ballard would want to trade back to.
Right. I mean, that makes, I mean, all the sense in the world, obviously. And the thing is, when you get into this, like you said, there's just no trade back scenario that is going to keep the Colts from taking Chubb, I don't think. I mean, that's no. just, look, I mean, if he's there and Barkley's the only one off the board, that's all, I don't think the Colts are going to draft Barkley regardless. So that's kind of where we're at with that first one. That's kind of a given, I guess you could say, if there was such a thing, at least in our opinion.
Well, we start off easy.
Yeah, I mean, at least in our opinion. But that definitely does not mean, by any stretch of the imagination, that Chris Ballard, for some reason, doesn't value Barkley that high. He could, because of all the people talking, oh, man, you guys, you get Luck, his Edgerrin James, and this and that and everything. But let's remember something. We said the exact – I said the exact same thing when the Colts traded for Trent Richardson. I did. And that doesn't mean that they're anything alike. That's not what I'm getting at. My point is it's a running back. And kind of similar, I just was on a mock draft a little bit ago, and Barkley was there. I was in pretty much this situation, except the four quarterbacks were not on the board. It was simply Barkley was left. Chubb and Nelson were both gone before me. I went Roquan Smith in this case because Barkley just does not, or I guess in this case is wrong. My mistake. I'm misreading these, but Barkley just does not give the Colts what they need in the situation that they're in right now. The Colts just very much have a few needs that they have to hit on this year, and running back is one of them. I just don't think that it's one of them in the first three rounds. I guess you could. I think maybe three rounds might be the ceiling. Or a third round might be the ceiling on a running back. But if Chubb's there, man, what's the ceiling? Him? You know? I mean, Harold Landry, maybe?
That's the floor for Chubb.
I mean, I love Sam Hubbard, but I don't. He's not getting picked that high. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what the NFL thinks. Those guys are not picking Sam Hubbard in the top 15 picks. That's not happening. Harold Landry, on the other hand, he's got that elite stuff that people love to see from pass rushers. And if you can bring that in your first year, forget about all the other stuff, the coverage, everything else that comes with playing that position, they're going to live with that, and they're going to do everything they can to develop him into a little more all-around guy, because he offers that elite trait that so many teams covet right now. So scenario six is off the board right here. We're not trading away from Chubb with Barkley being the only one gone. And I don't think that Nelson is the pick there either for Ballard. I think he loves him. I just don't think it's the pick if Chubb and Nelson are both on the board. So move us over to the second one here, buddy.
All right, so the next scenario, we've still got four quarterbacks going in that first five, but that one non-quarterback that's going is Bradley Chubb, which if four quarterbacks go, this is probably the most likely scenario that we've got. So we're looking at Saquon Barkley, and Quentin Nelson, Roquan Smith, any number of players there at six.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is one of those situations where the Colts are probably going to be taking a pick because, again, they don't have the trade partner that they probably like at this. And quite honestly, I don't think somebody's going to trade up to number six and give up all that draft capital for Lamar Jackson. It just doesn't seem like that's going to happen, since in between there, you're still missing those teams that really do need a quarterback.
Right.
So you look at what you're taking at six. I think that you were spot on in your mock draft that you had done a little bit earlier tonight in saying that Roquan Smith would be the pick. It just seems like the linebacker position in the Colts defense, it's going to be predicated on speed and instincts and just getting after the ball. And that's exactly what Roquan Smith has shown over and over again. He's probably the cleanest linebacker prospect in this draft and clearly the best. He doesn't have quite the ceiling that a guy, say, like Tremaine Edmonds does. But at the same time, he offers you everything you want in what will be the Colts' fast 4-3 defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
People can make that argument for Barkley, and I get it. You know, this is one of the scenarios that I posted on Twitter earlier, how excited I would be even if the Colts kept the sixth pick, because you're picking between either Bradley Chubb, Roquan Smith, Quentin Nelson, or Saquon Barkley. Either of those picks you're going to be happy with.
Mm-hmm.
Now your level of happiness may change. You know, for example, if we get Chubb, apparently some people are okay going streaking and being that excited, I would be really excited. I don't know if I would go streaking. It's cold. And who knows? And it's also my daughter's first birthday.
Yeah, that's not a good combination.
Thursday night, so I can't really do that. But anyway. So yeah, I think that, you know, these are probably the least likely scenarios to happen, is that four quarterbacks go. We look a little bit closer over here towards the next scenario, in our list, scenario D, where three quarterbacks are going, which I think is probably the most likely scenario, where three quarterbacks are gone in that top five.
Right.
And then you've got two non-quarterbacks. And in this scenario here, we've got Chubb and Roquan Smith. The reason why I included Roquan Smith here in this one, and don't worry, guys, we're going to get to Chubb and Saquon Barkley. That's another option. Don't think I forgot about it. Mm-hmm. But the reason why I say Roquan Smith is because last week I did a mock draft on SiriusXM NFL Network and or NFL Radio, and the Denver person was all over Roquan Smith.
Yeah.
And I get it, because Denver needs to improve their defense. Now, at the time, both Barkley and Quentin Nelson were on the board for them. And so I was a little surprised that they went that way, because everything that I've seen has seen Denver going with an offensive player. However, again, they went with Roquan, and it kind of threw a little wrench in my thought process, because I thought for certain that that's who I was going to take.
Mm-hmm. My thought on this, and I love this scenario, and I hate it. I love it. I love it because it's, first and foremost, it's way more realistic, I think, than people would give it credit for. We don't understand what all these guys have on their boards. We don't. We see it every year, every single year. There's not a reason that one guy gets freaking taken, you know, 10 spots above where everybody thinks, and they get killed for it. It's because they simply have different processes and different boards. Chubb going four to Cleveland, Roquan going five to Denver. I mean, really? You don't think that's a possibility? Now we get into the situation here where that leaves us Quentin Nelson and Saquon Barkley, right? Still on the board that are possible for us to take. Is that right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what are we thinking here? Because this to me really, really matters, not just on what we could get in return as far as amount of picks, but this really matters how far I'm moving back to me. Mm-hmm. If I'm moving back to, let's say, 9 or 10, what is that, San Fran or Oakland, right?
San Francisco, Oakland, yeah.
Okay. If I'm going back there, I think that I might be trading back. I think that I would definitely listen, and then it would matter a lot on what I could get in return, amount of picks, where they're at, blah, blah, blah. Now, if we're going to, and it seems stupid, because I say this is stupid all the time when we're talking about something so minute in a very small difference, we go to 11 or 12, Miami and Buffalo, then I think almost solely rides on return for that. So we've got some of this, you know, return that we're going to get to here in just a bit. But I want a lot if I'm there for Quentin Nelson and they want to trade out. I might not do it, to be quite honest with you. I might just take Nelson in that situation, because Nelson is such an elite guy at his position in this draft. He's a stud. He's not even a mauler. Like, he's a murderer. You know what I mean? And there's a couple guys that have some of that to them, but not very many in this draft. I would need quite a bit in return if I'm trading out of there from Nelson. I really like Nelson. He is, I think, a close second to Chubb, and I think Roquan's a really close third to Nelson there as far as my top three guys that I want out of that pick and where we would go with it. There's no chance I'm trading for Chubb. There'd have to be a serious bit of return for me to trade Nelson, or trade with the opportunity to pick Nelson. And I think that I would probably, if Roquan's there, I might be a little more lenient and go back to 12 or something and try to work that out, I think. What are your thoughts on this? Because this, like I said, this one's really intriguing, really likely, not necessarily the Chubb and Roquan as far as being likely off the board with three quarterbacks. It's very possible, but three quarterbacks in general, very likely. And the Colts are ultimately going to have to choose between one of these three guys, four guys that they really love.
Yeah, well, and I think that this is where doing your work pre-draft really comes into play, because what everybody's going to know, Chris Ballard's going to go into this room and know what he's going to do if these three quarterbacks go and it's Chubb and Roquan gone, or if it's Chubb and Barkley gone, then he's going to know what he's going to do. I think actually, regardless of who's gone, if there's three quarterbacks gone, I think the value of trading back increases, because now you've only got one of those top four quarterbacks left. And teams, you know, say, for example, you know, Cleveland takes Darnold at one, you know, then say, you know, for whatever reason, the New York Giants take a quarterback at two, and then the Jets take a quarterback at three. Mm-hmm. Cleveland, Denver goes Barkley, Chubb, you know, Chubb, Nelson, Chubb, Roquan, whatever. Then that leaves one quarterback left out of that top group.
And from what we hear, just for a little bit of added context, from what we're hearing everywhere, basically, is that it might be Rosen might be the fourth guy.
Could be Rosen, could be Josh Allen, could be Baker Mayfield. The only one you're not hearing is Sam Darnold, which
that's true.
Is probably accurate.
Yeah.
He's either going one or two, and that's pretty set in stone there. But I think at that point you look at what Chris Ballard has said in his press conference. For example, you look at guys that teams have to game plan around. You move back to, say, you know, Miami, Buffalo, Arizona. Those are the most likely trade scenarios in my mind, because those are the ones that are going to be clamoring over each other to get up. Mm-hmm. Each one of those teams offer a different kind of value for the picks. So, for example, Buffalo could offer you 12, 22, 53, and, you know, maybe a third round pick in there, either 65 or 96. And that might be great. You know, you've heard rumors. I think Peter King had said that he had heard a rumor that Ballard prefers 53 and 56 from Buffalo over 22, because that's where the value is, or there's not a huge drop off between 20 and like 75 for Ballard. And so getting two picks rather than one pick makes more sense to him. You know, that also makes sense. I think the most likely scenario in this is that Ballard's going to try to work out a point where he gets 12 and a 2019 round one from Buffalo, and then try to pick up a kicker pick, maybe 65, 96, if Buffalo's really kind of clamoring over themselves and trying to make sure that they are in front of Miami at that point, Miami or Arizona, then they throw in 53 or 56 too. The thing with this, though, is once you move back to 12, you're looking at minimized returns on value of players. It's just kind of what you were saying. But Ballard talked about getting players that you could game plan for, that other teams had a game plan for. When you think about that, you think about a guy like, say, Harold Landry, who should be there at 12.
I think
Who could be there at 12. And if Landry's not there at 12, that means somebody that we thought was going to be there, that was going to be gone a little bit earlier, has fallen. So whether it be Minkah Fitzpatrick, a Derwin James, you know, a Tremaine Edmonds, or even a Roquan Smith at that point, who knows. But you look at, say, drawing back at 12, or say Ballard goes ahead and takes 12 and 22, then you've got the option of saying somebody like Marcus Davenport, which personally I think he's really raw, and I don't necessarily like that choice. However, Ballard said something in his press conference that I picked up on, where he was looking at trying to make the game simple, and that he wanted rushers with power. And so that's all Davenport can do. Like, he's not particularly refined in his pass rushing. Like, he's fast off the line and he's powerful. And that's, I think that's right. I mean, you did the scouting for the edge rushers, right?
Yeah. One of the things that really stood out for me with Davenport was how adept he was to getting his hands in the passing lanes. That sounds super cheesy when you're talking about an edge rusher and you want him to make, you know, to get sacks and to get pressure. But here's the thing.
It makes a difference.
It does. He does well getting pressure. He doesn't always have a plan. You know what I'm saying? That, and I think I've heard that a little more
every day.
Yeah. And that it just, it seems like he gets there. Once he gets kind of stymied a little bit, then he's kind of like, well, now I'm getting my hands up. And that is both bad and good. I want him to have a secondary pass rush move. We talked about this with Basham for man ever. But the thing about Davenport is he is really instinctive about getting his hands up. Like, he knows how to get him up, where to get him up, how quickly. I really thought that was impressive about him. It doesn't necessarily mean that I think that he's a first round pick for the Colts, depending on where they pick. Now, if he is, you know, we talked about this as well with the Peter King thing. If the Colts were to value those second round picks more, why couldn't the Colts use possibly maybe the 36 and whatever, the 53? I used the 36 and 37 to move back into the first round and maybe get Davenport if for some reason you get Roquan Smith. You know, you get a polished guy, and then you get a guy like Davenport that needs a little bit of help and a little bit of development, because the Colts just basically said that they've got three starting defensive ends in Simon, Sheard, and Basham. So that, I mean, thought process wise, I think that makes sense for the Colts approach. Now, I would much rather have them get Landry for sure. Hubbard is one of those guys where if
that's your boy,
it is, he is. But I mean, Hubbard is one of those guys that you kind of want to not necessarily make a move for, in my opinion. I want him to fall to them organically. You know what I'm saying? If Davenport has that really special upside, I think, and that's what makes him so interesting. Whereas I think Hubbard really brings the calming, and I'm really losing my words here, not a calming effect, but he really brings like that every single play consistency. He has moments of flashes where he looks really fantastic, but then other times he looks kind of ordinary. Davenport, I think, has a much higher ceiling than him, but I think as far as for safety picks, you know, I think that Hubbard is a better safe pick than Davenport. It really presents a ton of possibilities here for the Colts with this second round situation, late first round, trading back in, just standing, you know, standing pat or whatever. But there's a lot to be done, I think, in the first 40 picks of this draft. And I think Chris Ballard's really going to be blowing smoke out his ears to try to get two, maybe three guys inside of that top 35 that could really do some damage for the Colts in the future. And like I said, you find yourself a polished linebacker because you don't have one, and you find yourself maybe a developmental guy because Simon's not going to be there long. Sheard's probably not going to be there long, not because of any certain reason, but they're just not. That's just not the way that Bauer's building this team. So I think that there's a lot of possibilities, a lot of fun to think about when we go on. Are we still on scenario D, by the way? Because, yes, we started the Chubb and Roquan. So let's move on to C, which would be D in reverse, the way we're going here. The three quarterbacks and two non-quarterbacks with Barkley and Chubb off the board. I'll let you hit this first, my man. Damn.
Okay, so basically what we're looking at here is the options of the Colts are, again, to trade back, or to look at potentially taking Roquan Smith or Quentin Nelson. I'll tell you this. I don't think Roquan Smith is getting past probably San Francisco and Oakland. Mm-hmm. So that 9-10 range is realistically Roquan Smith's floor. So if that's the guy that Ballard wants, then I don't see him trading out of that spot with Roquan there. I'll say this. If they do trade back, they would probably be looking at Chicago at that point at 8, because they'd want to get up to get Quentin Nelson. But the problem with Chicago is they traded away their second round pick, so they don't have a second round pick. They're not likely to trade up, which is a bit of a problem if you're looking for trade partners.
Right.
And so, you know, maybe you swap with Tampa and they take, I don't know who they would take, actually. They'd be looking at Barkley. They wouldn't want to trade. So basically the Colts would be pretty stuck in this situation, because you don't want to trade back and lose out on Roquan Smith or Quentin Nelson if you're not going to get good value there. In this case, I would probably take Roquan at six, and I wouldn't even worry about trading unless if I just got blown away by an offer. Say Miami offered me 11, 42, 60, what are the next one? 74 is their next. I don't know what their third round pick is, and their 2019 round one. Maybe I move off of that then, because, and this is something that we may want to talk about here in a little bit on which trade scenario we like best, which could be something we talk about near the end of the show. That's a tease in the radio business, in the live YouTube business. Anyway, so that's what I would do. I would likely go with Roquan Smith in that scenario, just because I think that the need for a linebacker in this defense and is different. And the way that you grade players is, yes, Quentin Nelson is definitely the best guard in this class. Roquan, I think, is the best inside linebacker in this class. However, I think the drop-off between those interior offensive linemen is a little bit shorter than the drop-off between that inside linebacker between Roquan and, say, that second tier that you're going to get, or second, realistically, in the second round, you're going to look at third tier, because you've got Roquan and Tremaine Edmonds in that first tier, Leighton Vander Esch and Rashad Evans in that second tier. Mm-hmm. And then you're looking at what, like Malik Jefferson is going to be your next inside linebacker.
He's never really jumped out at me.
Really talented. But if I'm going to say, for example, let's game plan it out.
Okay.
Say you take Roquan at six, and then say you get somebody like Billy Price, James Daniels, Frank Ragnow, which Ragnow is actually being projected to go in the top 20, 25. Mm-hmm. But say you get one of those interior offensive linemen, do you feel more comfortable with that than saying getting Quentin Nelson and Malik Jefferson? Or, you know,
I think so. I mean, cause
like I feel more comfortable with Roquan.
Yeah.
And that other line, the lineman.
You feel okay? So let's say, I mean, just Isaiah Wynn or Hernandez or somebody like that.
If Isaiah Wynn's there, like, I'd be super excited. He's like my second favorite inside interior offensive lineman, which is weird to say that I have a favorite interior offensive lineman, but yeah.
Right. So let's say you know the Colts realize that they're not getting Quentin Nelson. The Colts end up taking Roquan. Like I said, polish. You know, find polish in the first round. Somebody you're not gonna have to worry about. Could you project him to be a Pro Bowler for the future, or All Pro? I guess is a better explanation. But then maybe use that to move up a little bit to grab one of Wynn or Hernandez in that situation. I mean, that to me is I don't dislike the centers moving to guard, but you've got guys that are tackles moving to guard. That to me is a little sexier. And maybe it's senseless sexiness, you know, kind of like us.
We wiggling? Is this a thing? I thought we only did this in the after hours podcast.
That's right. That's the after show. So that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, does it make more sense to get a guy to move in versus a guy that's going to move out? I think that a lot of those centers that are so highly projected are more than capable of being guards in the league. Don't get me wrong. But like I said, Will or Hernandez or Wynn, those guys just seem a little more like legit targets. You want those guys more. I want them guys more. I want those guys more. I think you do too. And
yeah, I assume that those guys are going the end of round one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I actually think Isaiah Wynn's probably going to go in the late teens.
Right.
From everything that
one of them's going to. One of them will, for sure.
Yeah. And then I don't think Hernandez makes it out around one. That's why I kind of look at Billy Price and James Daniels and Frank Ragnow there rather than anybody else. And honestly, you could have five or six interior offensive linemen go in round one, which is almost unheard of that you would have, you know, 10 picks be between quarterback or 10, 11 picks between quarterbacks and offensive linemen, interior offensive linemen.
Right. And I'm not flipping out about Ryan Kelly or anything like that about his concussion situation last year, but maybe Ballard feels it's necessary to get a guy that he knows could play center if something went wrong again and play it at an elite level. Maybe
It's a nice safety blanket.
Yeah. It's weird to have a safety blanket at the end of the first round, but you know, it just seems like it seems like something that he'd be thinking about. He's going to start at guard for me right now. And if anything ever happens to Kelly, I've got a backup center who can play it at an elite level. Problem solved. So, so should we move on to the next scenario, Stephen? What do you got for us?
So the next scenario is we've got two quarterbacks going, which I still think it's not a very likely scenario, but it could be. And then three non-quarterbacks, and those being Barkley, Chubb, and Roquan Smith being gone.
Well, we know my stance on this. You're gonna have to please me, you know, to get Nelson away from me.
I know you really like it. You like those big uglies.
Oh, I do. I mean, he's massive. The guy, he has such good awareness, not just to, you know, who he's got on right or left of him, but who is, you know, to the other side of the center. You see mm-hmm. him come across and just, you know, clip guys. Yes, just destroy people coming in, think they've got a clean shot on the quarterback, and then they wake up on the sideline.
Are you talking about that corner blitz?
Yes. It's out of control. I mean,
that's
the one that's most
my favorite gifts. Like, yes, his head is, that's what I don't think people understand with Quentin Nelson is he is aware all the time.
Oh yes.
Like his head is on a swivel, like that you don't expect from an offensive guard, which is part of the reason why he's so great is he just knows what's going on and has a feel for the game.
Right.
I think at this scenario, like you look at it and you say, all right, what's the value of drafting Quentin Nelson as compared to what are you going to be your options trading back? Because at this point it's Quentin Nelson or trade back. I think in this scenario, I don't think that Ballard values Tremaine Edmonds over Quentin Nelson mm-hmm. necessarily. And I don't like the fit of Denzel Ward in the Colts defense. I'd actually prefer Derwin James over Denzel Ward or Minkah Fitzpatrick personally. But you look at this and you have to say to yourself, okay, so there's only two quarterbacks gone. You've got three non-quarterbacks left with Quentin Nelson being, or three non-quarterbacks gone as well. And so you've got Quentin Nelson left on the board and you have to find out whether a team is willing to trade up for that. At this point, you've got Tampa Bay who has a quarterback. You've got Chicago who has a quarterback. San Francisco has a quarterback. Oakland has a quarterback. So then it comes to Miami. How motivated is Miami or Buffalo going to be knowing that Miami's not going to be motivated at all, I don't think, right, to trade up in this scenario.
I don't either.
So because you're looking at Buffalo and Arizona trying to get over top of Miami. So which one of those teams is going to make a move off that? Because that's part of what people don't understand. Like we can talk about, oh, they should trade back. They should trade back. They should trade back. They should get all these picks, but you've got to have somebody that's willing to come up.
Yeah. And that, I think that scenario, people forget that. Like you said, I think that people just continually are like, well, somebody surely is going to want to come up. That's not the case necessarily.
Yeah. The only team that I could see coming, like really pushing hard to come up at that point is Arizona, maybe Buffalo.
That's so far back.
And you don't want to go back that far because you've already had three quarterbacks off the board. And so you don't know who's going to be available there. It's a tough sell to come off of it with two quarterbacks because you're not going to get as much value for the pick because the scarcity's gone. If you've only got, say, for example, in the past two scenarios that we discussed where we've only got three quarterbacks and you've only got one quarterback left.
Right.
So that's it. That's all you've got in the first round. Unless you want to go and roll with Lamar Jackson or Mason Rudolph, you've got to get up and get that quarterback. You know, in this scenario, I think that the pick for me would probably be Nelson because I don't think that anybody's going to want to trade up for it.
Yeah. I don't think that many would want to trade up for him either, and we'll get a little further into him here right after this quick break. Folks, Are you guys in the market to buy or sell your home? If you are, call Mike Ernest of Ernest Realty Group and also the REMAX. Mike and his team of real estate professionals are experts in the greater Indianapolis real estate market, and they've helped people just like you achieve their real estate goals. Listen, when it comes to buying or selling a home, knowledge is power. You need a professional on your team that can help you navigate the home buying or home selling process, and you need someone who can negotiate the best deal for you. Mike Ernest is that guy. He's a true pro who knocks it out of the park every single time. He's received numerous industry awards and for being a leader in the Indianapolis real estate market. So when it comes to buying or selling your home, don't get burned by amateurs. Hire a professional. Whether you live in Indy or any of the surrounding communities, the Ernest Realty Group can help. Call Mike Ernest at 317-285-9691 or find him online at homeprosindy.com. Again, that's 317-285-9691 or homeprosindy.com. And to kind of not be a complete turd here in name drop or anything like that, one of the cool things about Mike is he's sold and, you know, leaned or whatever you want to call it, whatever those guys do, has done it for many, a few Colts already, a couple former Colts that that still actually live around the area. He's been working with them. And so that's a pretty cool. So, I mean, if they're trusting him, why aren't you guys trusting him? You know what I mean? The guy definitely does his job and is going to get you guys the best opportunity to find the house of your dreams or possibly get you out of a house that is not a part of your dreams for the future. So make sure you guys are giving Mike Ernest a call. Again, 317-285-9691. Definitely worth your time if you're looking for the right house. So we'll take a quick five-second break here, and we'll be back. Thanks for coming back, guys. As you know, we were leaving talking about Quentin Nelson and kind of how the situation is with him. We talked a little bit about Arizona as well, wanting to move back up. The Colts probably are not going to do that. That's a little deep for the Colts to move back to. But back to Quentin Nelson and my kind of our affinity for him. There are so many things that you guys are going to see on Twitter, GIF-wise, that were like we just talked about. This, you know, the corner has a clean hit on a quarterback, and he literally wakes up on the sideline. That's the one that gets all the love, but there are so many more just like that against linebackers, against twisting defensive ends, against other linemen.
NC State.
Yes.
NC State's going to have
– he's not taking everybody off their feet.
But they're going to have four defensive linemen drafted in this draft.
Yep. He's not taking all of them off their feet, you know, and like cleaning them. But he is definitely popping their shoulder pads, man, and they know they've been in a collision. And that's the thing you want. That's the kind of awareness that the Colts need along the offensive line that they've haven't really had. And I would venture to say probably, you know, I think Costanzo's got some of that, at least the awareness now. The ability and awareness catching up all the time doesn't always happen, but we saw it out of Ryan Kelly in his rookie year where he'd come off of his block and help out one of the guards or just whatever. Not to the level of Quentin Nelson, guys, okay? Quentin Nelson's a special dude. And that's kind of why, even though there are other offensive linemen that are very, very good in this draft, he is a guy that makes it really difficult for me to move off of. He just is. I just have a hard time doing it. So
it's like Dave Gettleman said, he's a gold jacket guy.
Yeah, I think like, so too.
You expect him to be in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could definitely.
And you watch his tape and you kind of see it. Like, you see it and you're like, wow, all right, he's legit. Yeah. Like, he can crush people and he does it consistently and he's smart and he knows where he's going. Like, he's run block, pass block, it doesn't matter. Like, the dude can do it all in terms of the offensive line.
Absolutely. So let's move up to the final two scenarios here. And we got
the last scenario.
Oh, that's right. We already did the one with Barkley, Chubb and Roquan off the board. So let's move to the final one here, Steven. With two QBs gone, three non-QBs, those three non-QBs are Barkley, Chubb, and Nelson this time. Roquan Smith still on the board. Why don't you start us?
I think that this is pretty an obvious pick for what we've been talking about. Is it's going to be Roquan in this scenario for a couple of reasons. Because, again, you're looking at somebody that's going to be a perennial Pro Bowler in Roquan Smith. And this is kind of the thing, is you look at guys in I've talked about this in past drafts with Stampede Blue, is that you look at guys that have high floors, and you try to get guys that have high floors. And, you know, if you can get a guy with a high floor that also has a high ceiling, that's great. But you're looking at guys that you know what you're going to get. You know, a guy like Tremaine Edmonds is a fantastic player. His floor is a lot lower than Roquan Smith's.
Let me stop you for just a second, only because I want to ask you this, kind of, you kind of led into it. Let's say that you're only moving back maybe two spots to Chicago, maybe three spots, or four, you know, 8, 9, or 10. Do you do that? Do you do that if you know that that team coming up to six wants Roquan? Not a quarterback. Maybe they want Roquan.
I don't.
You don't? Even if you can get Edmonds just a few picks back and gain something, it's not enough for you?
I really like Roquan and how he plays.
Yeah.
That's the tough part, is like, I see what you're saying. Like, if I could move back, say, with, you know, San Francisco at nine, and because you're looking at, you know, Tampa Bay is going probably defensive backfield. Chicago is, I don't know where Chicago's going to go. They can go a whole lot of different directions.
Yeah, they really could.
On that. You know, and then you look at San Francisco, Oakland is where you would kind of expect the Roquan Smith, Tremaine Edmonds chain to go, where it's 1-2 right after another. If San Francisco is coming up, they also don't have a second round pick. Now I think about that, because they traded their second round pick to New England for Jimmy Garoppolo. And so you've got to think that Chicago doesn't have a second round pick. 49ers don't have a second round pick. Oakland has a second round pick, but at that point you've traded back, and you know that at that point Tremaine Edmonds and Roquan Smith are going to be gone. Because if Oakland's coming up for Roquan, San Francisco is going to take Tremaine Edmonds right in front of you.
Right.
So then you're kind of SOL on all those. You know, in my mind, you take Roquan and you just kind of sit on the fact that Chris Ballard made a great trade with the Jets to start off this process a week into free agency, where, or you know, after free agency started, and got 3 second-round picks, you know? And so you use those picks then to, as you said, either trade up a little bit in the back end of the first round to get that fifth year option on a player, or you just go and get 3 starters in the second round.
Right. Aside from quarterbacks, we get to the talking about the fifth round or the fifth year option. Because I kind of would put it with an edge guy. But I'm curious, just only because I haven't really thought about it, to be quite honest with you, all that much. What's a position that, okay, let me put it this way. What's a position that you would not trade back in specifically for to get that fifth round option? Might be a great player. You can probably get him at 36, but you want to trade back in to get him.
Corner,
you would not trade back in to get a guy of fifth year option? Why is that?
No, because the fifth year option, it takes the average salary of, I don't know whether it's the top 5 or top 10. It depends on where you're drafted, what position you're drafted at. So if you're in the top 10, it's the top 5 players at that position and takes the average salary off of that. And that's what the fifth year option is. I think that's what it is. That sounds right. We're going to go with it. And if I'm wrong, then the commenters, I'm sure, will let me know. They always do.
Oh, yes.
But they, corner is one where I wouldn't trade back in, just because the top corners get paid so much money. And so you're probably going to be looking at paying that out anyway.
Well, like, what's his name got, guard from Carolina that went to the Jaguars.
Norwell.
He got what, 15?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't think he got that much, but he got a lot.
I think it was real close.
But this is something that I was thinking about, though, is that you don't look at it now, like when it is now. Like, you have to look at it in four years,
right?
When you have to activate that option. So you've got to think that the NFL and the way that they're starting to pay interior offensive linemen is going to keep going up, because you've got defensive linemen that are now more athletic, and so you're starting to put those pass rushers inside. And so the defenses are starting to take advantage of that, because people have been putting their less athletic offensive linemen at guard, And then now defenses are starting to exploit that with like Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh. And the sad part is they play on the same team right now.
That's insane.
But, you know, Philadelphia did that in the Super Bowl. And the New York Giants, when they beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, they did that, where it's interior pressure in the face of a quarterback, which throws them off. We can have a whole nother podcast talking about defensive pressure and all that. But I think that the price tag for guards is going to increase. And I believe that they don't differentiate offensive guards versus offensive tackles versus centers. I think it's all offensive line. And so you're not looking at guard money necessarily. You're looking at top tackles, top guards, and that's what you're paying out for that guard position. The one position that I say might be the best to trade back into is either safety or running back, because your top, like the value of those positions are going down in terms of how much guys are getting paid. Like safeties aren't getting paid much of anything right now.
Right.
Same thing with running backs. Aside from Le'Veon Bell, I think the second highest paid running back is maybe making $7-8 million. And the only reason Lev Bell is making that much is because it's the second year of his franchise tag. So he's making 14.
That's true too.
You know, so if you're going to trade back into the back end of round one, then you look at running back, or you look at safety, you look at those positions where the value, the current salaries and what you project the salaries to be is going to be a little bit lower. So then you don't have to necessarily pay it out.
That makes sense.
The other option though, is to look at it. If you don't look at it from a monetary standpoint, you look at it from positional value, then yeah, you trade back in for an edge rusher. You know, you trade back in for an offensive guard, you trade back in for, you know, even a corner, or I don't think you trade back in for a wide receiver in this class.
No,
because you don't have a whole lot of top tier wide receivers that you like. You've got a lot of guys with flaws at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, I agree. That makes sense. My kind of thought process was always to, you know, trade in to get one of those elite type of positions. But you're right. If you're thinking about it monetarily, it makes a ton of sense to do it, you know, maybe for a Darius Geis, or maybe do it for, you know, one of the linemen, like you said. That makes, you know, a little more sense.
I made you think there, didn't I?
Yeah. Well, and that was the thing. That was what I wanted to bounce off you, because I had just continually said that, you know, hey, you can come back up and get Harold Landry. But to me, it was always for getting that guy that you just want to, you know, terrible phrase, the guy you just want to have the rights to for another year, you know. You know what I'm saying? Or even two more years, because you still own the franchise tag with him for another year after that even.
Yeah, and trading up for, like, I could totally see the Colts trading back into the first round. I actually, in the first mock draft that I did this year, I had the Colts trading back with Buffalo and then trading back up. I didn't have them trading back into the first round, but you could see that they package those picks. Say they package 36 and 37 to move back into the first round, get Harold Landry, who maybe fell to Seattle or maybe fell to 18-19 range, and say Dallas, who is in salary cap hell, wants to get out of that first round pick so they don't have to pay as much money, and they can pick up some players that they can pay for the cheap. So you're looking at teams like that, you know, that you can get up to 19 and still get a Harold Landry or a Marcus Davenport if perchance you take Roquan Smith or Quentin Nelson with your first pick.
Yeah, that makes sense. There's a lot of different situations. We've gone through a bunch of them here tonight. It's been fun to just kind of break our own brains here looking at these. But these are, you know, very real situations, very real possibilities that Chris Ballard and the Colts could be looking at in less than 48 hours, dude. 48.
I know. How bumped is that? Yeah. I'm so excited. Do you want to go through trade scenarios?
Oh, I'm geeking the hell out, man. Yeah. Let's do that real quick. All right, guys. We got probably another 10 to 15 minutes left here.
So I feel like I have to go through it.
Yeah. No, we will. We will. We're about 10 to 15 minutes out, guys. So hang with us. Let's talk about these real quick. Let's hit with Buffalo, since that's at the top of the list.
Okay, so everybody's going to say that Buffalo is the most likely trade scenario, because that's the one that we all know Buffalo's trying to get up. Buffalo's trying like hell to get their quarterback. They've had intense discussions apparently with the Giants, who aren't budging.
And they have the most ammo this year.
And again, you're right, they do have the most ammo. They've got picks 12, 22, 53, 56, 65, 96, I think is their first six picks. They've got six picks in the first three rounds, two in the first, two in the second, and then two in the third. In terms of trade scenarios, again, you look at the standpoint of what you think is going to be available and what you value. Chris Ballard has seemingly made it pretty clear that he wants somebody that teams have to game plan against. When you have guys that you have to game plan against, you kind of look at the edge rusher, because it's kind of like with Freeney and Mathis that Colts fans know and love for so long, is you always had to know where Freeney and Mathis were on that defense. And so that's why I initially think it's probably going to be an edge rusher that he's talking about with the other Harold Landry or Marcus Davenport there, if they were looking down at 12. And both those guys legitimately could be there at 12. So if those are the guys that he thinks are premier players, as he said, then it makes a lot of sense to make that move with Buffalo. Now, you look at the trade packages that Buffalo can offer, and that really is kind of where you break it down. You have people saying that they want both firsts and both seconds and next year's first. Well, that's quite honestly is not going to happen.
Right.
You're not going to see them completely break the bank, I don't think, for moving up from 12 to 6.
What do we talk about? What do we talk about the other time that, you know, Ballard basically is going to want to win by, you know, what?
35%.
Yeah, 35%.
That's what he won the Jets trade. This is the question that I asked, you know, Matt, and I think it was Chris Blystone was on with you that day, but the Colts, Chris Ballard said before, after the Jets trade, that he really would need to be wowed by an offer. You have to think that Chris Ballard was wowed by the Jets offer. So you're looking at a 35% overvalue from moving what the Jets gave up to move from 6 to 3. So that's probably going to be right about your starting point. You're going to look at like a 30% overvalue or a 35% overvalue. Quite honestly, if you look at any of the trades at Buffalo's considered offering, if you package 12 and 22 up, you're pretty much in that range of, I think it's like 40% overvalue.
Right.
But given the panic of teams that might want to move up, then you might be able to pull off 96, which has been what everybody's talking about, that last pick in the third round, or you're going to be able to pull up something maybe even better. I don't think you're going to get more than 65, pick 65 from Buffalo. If you pull 12, 22, then you could get 53 and 65. I don't know. It's just, it's tough because they're going to have to sell the farm to move up. At the same time, I think if you're Chris Ballard, you actually would prefer that 2019 round one pick. Right. And so you're looking at saying they get to keep 22, but you get their pick next year. And if you're Buffalo, you're kind of banking on being a better team than what pick 22 was. I don't think that's likely to happen. I think that they're going to be a much worse team next year. I think they'll be in the top 15 picks next year. And so Ballard in that scenario could likely get 12, their 2019 round one, and either pick 53 or 56. I don't think they'd be able to get both of them there.
Yeah.
But either way, you're picking up an extra second round pick and two first round picks, which is, I think, probably Ballard's starting point is two first round picks, well, either this year or next year, and then kickers, whoever's willing to throw in the most in kickers.
Right. The interesting part of this to me, and it continually, you know, once I got into this little thought process of possibly trading back up, you know, if the Colts do get, let's say they do allow them to keep 22, the Colts are pretty much reliant on those first couple second round picks that they already got in the Jets trade if they want to do anything like that. I don't see that being something that Ballard would really enjoy doing. When you look at the other scenario where the Colts would get the 22nd and then maybe something in the third, like you said, that to me allows Ballard to dump those two picks, that 22 and 53, to get within just a couple picks of 12 and get two guys in the top 15.
That's true.
That to me is sexier than waiting to get a guy at 27, 28. Because look, when we get into this right now, if the Colts have traded back to 12, there's a pretty good sense that a lot of other teams are going to want to trade out as well, in my opinion. So when that does occur, then the Colts are going to be sitting there going, hey, look, you want to trade back? Just, you know, we're just going to give you 22 and whatever, you know, 22 and something else, and we're going to come up to take that off your hands. You can go to 22 and get, you know, somebody that better fits your needs at that draft slot. So I it depends on who Ballard really wants and if he really wants anybody, I guess, after that first initial pick. You know what I'm saying? So that's the fun part in my head, in that we really can't tune out, you know, after the Colts pick in the first round, because we don't know what's going on. I mean, you never do anyways. Nobody can give you a break. It's the NFL draft. Who does? But I mean, my point is that I'm going to be sitting there waiting for another move to be made by Ballard, because I feel like he really feels, not only do I want more draft capital, but if I can get two of the top 15 players in this draft and maintain some serious, you know, second and third round pick, how do you turn that away?
That's true. I've never even considered that, like getting 12 and 22. And then I've done it before where I've traded up from 22 to 18 before to grab somebody, but I've never thought about going up further than that. But that's a great point, is that, you know, you could fill a lot of holes, and you have to understand the other part about this is getting so many second round picks is that these guys, if you get too many of them, you're going to have a lot of, it's a good problem to have.
Yeah. You're going to be in for
a lot of guys coming up for contract extensions all at the same time.
Yep.
And your second round picks this year, or your second round picks and after, so your second through seventh round picks are all going to come up for contract extensions when Malik Hooker comes up for contract extension as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to take that into play as well. The next trade scenario that I put on here is one that we might want to hit on, is Miami. I think Miami is a much simpler one than Buffalo, simply because they don't have as much ammunition as Buffalo does. You know, Buffalo is a little bit trickier because you've got all of those picks. Miami, it's pretty straightforward. You're looking at pick 11 and then likely a 2019 round one pick. And then you're looking at maybe more likely pick 73, which is their third round pick. You might be able to get them to kick in 42, which is their second round pick. The interesting part when you're talking about this, and we might as well throw out Arizona as well in terms of the last trade scenario that I put down, and that would be involving pick 15, likely pick 47, and then a 2019 round one pick. And the reason why Arizona would include that second round pick is because you're dropping back another three to four spots beyond what you were with Buffalo and in Miami. So you're losing out on that next tier. You're putting more of a gamble in dropping back to 15 than what you would. So they're going to need to compensate you a little bit more.
Yeah.
But one of the things what is interesting about taking the 2019 round one pick or putting that into play is that you kind of have to hedge your bet on how you think that team's going to do next year. If I were going to take a bet on which team I thought was going to be the worst out of Miami, Arizona, and Buffalo, my number one would be Miami. I think they're going to be terrible. My second would be Arizona, and then it would be Buffalo. So if I'm focusing on that 2019 round one pick, then I would look to make the trade with Miami first, and then Arizona, and then Buffalo, because say Miami and Arizona, they're probably bottom five rosters in the NFL at this point. I don't think that that's much of a argument.
They're close.
And so you're looking at teams that are, and Arizona plays in a really tough division, with Seattle and the Rams and San Francisco. So they've got a tough division on top of being not great. And so wouldn't it be great to get a top five pick and not have to struggle through a bottom five season?
Right. Yes.
So you're hedging your bets on who you think is going to be the worst. And I would put my money on Miami or Arizona, at like kind of a 1A, 1B, and then I would put it on Buffalo. And so that's kind of how I would go and look at it.
Right. And that makes sense. But to me, the risk of going, I mean, look, just in the first round,
you're talking about Arizona, aren't you?
No, not necessarily. But when you look at round one pick for the following year, I totally agree with you that you have to look at what kind of team they can legitimately be. The fact that they've only got three picks to offer, and that even might be too much for them and their fan base in the end, that tells you immediately that they don't have a lot to offer. They did. I think that Arizona had a fairly decent draft last year. I liked some of their picks for sure, but they've lost out on some secondary guys. Miami doesn't know what they're getting with Tannehill coming back. They ultimately don't. I mean, I guess they do have a running game, but they've lost.
Any of them that trade up is going to be looking at possibly starting a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, right. But the real kicker here is what you have to assume that let's say it's the middle of the road, man. We're talking 15 to 20, okay? They might be middling. They might be an 8-8 team and still just be terrible because there might be a ton of 8-8 teams next year. Mm-hmm. You're betting on a team or a pick in a draft a year from now between 15 and 20 that you want to put your name on. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's still capital. You can move it if you need to, like similar the way that we're talking about right now with the Colts and their picks and what they're doing. But to me, that just seems riskier. And I don't dislike the round one argument. It's a valid one. And it's one that you have to think, we're getting a round one pick next year. No matter what, we're getting a round one pick, regardless of what we do with it. But if you think that you're getting another player with that, I don't feel like that's necessarily a real there's no certainty with that.
No, I understand that. Like, I totally get that. Like, that's why when you do valuations for the trade values in terms of what you're getting, what you're receiving, typically what you do is if you're doing a future pick, you do the middle of the round. And so like a 2019 round one pick is generally described as being worth 1,000 points. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's what your middle of the round split pick 16 is worth. And so I get it in terms of being 15 and 20, like that's where I'd be hesitant with Buffalo. Like, yeah, I'd be getting their 2019 round one, but they could legit, like, they've got a decent team. Their division's terrible. Miami's not good, so they're going to get some wins there. The Jets are hit or miss. New England, I mean, who knows what Tom Brady's going to do, right? No, I'm just joking. We all know. But you know, they could legit be 8-8, and then you're looking at pick 15, yeah. Pick 16, whatever, right there in the middle of the road, and you're kind of stuck.
Right.
That's why I would say that if Ballard values that 2019 round one pick, that Miami and Arizona make a lot more sense. Mm-hmm. Miami's my ideal trade partner for the Colts. If that's the direction they go.
Yeah.
If they don't stick at six and take that player, Miami, not only because they're pick 11, so you don't drop as far, but because I project Miami to be a bottom five, bottom 10 team. And, you know, crazy scenario. What if Miami is the worst team in the league next year? All of a sudden, Chris Ballard is sitting at the number one pick in the draft with team that probably wants a quarterback. All of a sudden, he packages them up for like another 2 second round picks and drops back a couple spots, gets himself a pass rusher or gets himself an offensive tackle, because at some point offensive tackles are going to become good again in college and they're going to need them.
Maybe.
I hope, right? Like, it blows my mind that this is like going to be the second draft in a row that an offensive tackle that doesn't go in the top like 10 or 15 picks. Yeah. Unless if Mike McGlinchey somehow pops up.
But he might too. Knows. He could.
He could. Like, that's
there's definitely teams that could use him there. You just don't know if the talent meets the pick for that team. Depends.
Yeah. But anyway, it's a fun game to sit here and play. As you can tell, I've gone through all these different scenarios in my head of where they could go, what they could do, what kind of compensation you would get from teams, what value and what players would be available if they drop back to, say, 11, 12, 15. You know, I don't think that – I think – 15 is the absolute maximum that Ballard would drop back to. And then Arizona would have to offer him a great deal. like a significant deal to get him off of it. I think that Miami, he'd be a little bit more open to move there, because I think that they could do 11-73 in a 2019 round one, and Ballard be like, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Take it.
It's definitely possible.
Who knows? It's so much fun. It's like 48 hours away, less than 48 hours away.
I know. I'm kind of geeking.
We'll already be through all this, and this whole conversation will mean nothing.
Yeah. You know what? Probably by the third pick, we'll be like, what the hell is going on? Something will be completely wrong and gone from what anybody said for the past several months.
First three picks are going to be okay. I'm interested to see what Cleveland does it for.
Yeah.
Because they could trade out. Like, if I were Cleveland, I would trade out, because for one, it gives the Colts a chance at Chubb. And two,
does give the Colts a Chubb.
Yeah, they could. It does. You could get two Chubbs for the Colts.
We could get two Chubbs.
But they, like, if I were Cleveland, I would trade out of four, and I would drop back to Buffalo and get 12, 22, and one of their second rounders. At 12, I would take Mike McGlinchey. At 22, I would, pick up a wide receiver or whatever they want to do. Take Darius Geis at 22. Like, it makes so much sense to me from a team building standpoint to trade back for our Cleveland at four with Buffalo, because it's just Joe Thomas just retired. They've had nobody protect what will end up likely being Sam Darnold. And they could use so much of that draft capital and really kind of flip the script on what has been a lovable loser. Not even really lovable. Like, Cleveland's, they're just not great.
Yeah. Let's do this. Let's put this real quick. Two of these teams, in my opinion, are going to trade up. Which two? I'm asking you because I don't know. I'm not making a guess on this one, but I'm curious to see what your thought is. Buffalo, Miami, and Arizona. Who are the two that do? Who gets left out?
I think realistically, you're going to see Buffalo and Arizona.
Yeah.
Move up.
I think that makes. I honestly think that Gase thinks more highly of Tannehill than everybody on earth.
Yeah, but I don't know, and that's kind of where I'm thinking too. Like, they seem to be set on Tannehill for whatever reason. Like, the guy is turning 30, or he might already be 30, so he is what he is as a quarterback.
But let's also be honest; they should be higher on Tannehill than everybody else on earth, in my opinion.
And they should, yeah. That's true too, because they've got him in the building, so they should definitely be higher on him.
Yes.
But yeah, if I were going to make my bets on who's going to be moving up, I would say Buffalo and Arizona. And I think, and the tough part is, like, you look at, there's three spots in the top five that really could make or break the entire draft. Mm-hmm. You look at number two with the Giants. We're all kind of under the assumption that Sam Darnold's going number one. So what does Gettleman do it to? He's made it clear that he's not trading out right now.
Right.
So that might change on draft night. That might change, and he might take the picks from Buffalo. If he really believes that Eli Manning has a couple years left and he wants to build now, then that trade with Buffalo makes a whole lot of sense, because he's getting 12, 22, 53, 56. And there's an interesting trade that they put on. I want to say it was on Good Morning Football on NFL Network, that they had a trade where they had Buffalo. It was their three-team trade scenario. They had Buffalo sending pick 12 and then pick 22 and pick 53 to the Colts to move up to six. And they had Buffalo sending pick six in their 2019 round one to the Giants to move up to pick two. And I thought that was an interesting, that's one of those things where you'd have to have all of that done in advance. All these guys have to be talking, knowing that this is what we're doing, because no way in Hades is Buffalo moving up to six without having that assurance that Dave Gettleman is going to take 6-2. The reason why this is interesting is because it gives Ballard 12, 22, and 53. It gives Gettleman six, where he can get Saquon Barkley or Quentin Nelson at that point, or Bradley Chubb. Mm-hmm. One of those three players is going to be there, because at that point you've got Cleveland taking a quarterback at one, Buffalo trading up for a quarterback at two, the Jets taking a quarterback at three. So then you've got Cleveland, Denver, and then at that point, New York Giants. So that makes a lot of sense. And that's been the only three-team trade that I've seen that like really kind of does make sense, because it's, you know, gives Ballard more draft capital at 12, 22, 53. It lets him move back to that spot where he still believes that he's going to get a premier player and that the teams have to game plan for. And then it gives him that extra pick at pick 22 that he could either take somebody like a Rashawn Evans or a Connor Williams or an Isaiah Wynn to upgrade whatever position he didn't take at 12. Mm-hmm. And so that's the one three-team trade that I've seen that I've been like, well, that could actually work if they want to do it in advance, but I'm not sure that you're going to be able to do all that and that's make a three-team trade in the NFL. But it would be cool to see that the floodgates open.
Yes.
And do it like that.
That would be fun. It's interesting, sure. And like you said, as long as all three parties are happy, it can work. It could work. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, because Gettleman would get his guy and then get a 2019 round one pick.
Right.
In return for it.
Right. I agree. Guys, we're literally, tomorrow, when you all wake up, we are going to be tomorrow away from our NFL draft, our 2018
one
NFL draft.
Good night away.
That's right. Tomorrow you guys wake up and it'll be tomorrow. So, Steven.
Almost tomorrow now.
Yeah. It's 10 minutes. We're from tomorrow. So, dude, Steven.
If anybody wants to know when we record these things.
Yeah, right. Yeah. If you're watching live, which a good portion of you are, that's really cool too. So, you guys know exactly what's going on.
Hey, guys.
Steven, always a blast to hang out with you, my man. Damn it. There it is again. My man.
My man.
Everybody's my man.
Yeah. The funny thing is people don't realize this, but he actually does this in our text conversations that we have in our app. It's my man's all over the place. It never makes any sense to me.
It's true. Well, you can only throw so many brothers or buddies out there. You know, you gotta do it a little differently, man. So, you know, I'm trying to keep it real, Steven.
No, and I respect that. I do. I respect it.
Thank you guys for joining us. It was a fun show. Steven, thank you for doing the legwork on a lot of this stuff, man. It was great.
Really, my pleasure. You know I like stuff.
Absolutely. Really enjoyed it. Thank you guys all for listening. We are going live on, I'm not sure about the first round. I think some of us are not sure. There's some circumstances coming up that we're not really certain about how everything's going to go. But second and third rounds, we're going live from Metazoa Brewing Company in Indianapolis, 140 College Avenue. If you guys are interested, come down, hang out with us down there. That's going to be fun, like for real going to be fun. So if you guys have anything that you want to do with that, that we can come down, spend a few hours with us, it's going to be a good time. Make sure you guys get into to iTunes and doing the whatever, the rating and review, whatnot.
Star review.
Yes, yes. And that's about it, man. This is going to be our last show before the draft, so we'll see you guys then. Steven, always good to talk to you again, my friend.
And I was waiting for it.
Yeah, it was close.
I feel a little left out.
Truthfully, thank you guys all out there who pay attention, who listen, who watch, who share the show, who talk and conversate with us on Twitter. We love it. It's a great time. So just want to get all that out before we go draft crazy and get it down. But we'll talk to you guys all on at least day two of the draft and maybe in the first round, day one on Thursday. So we'll talk to you guys soon, Steven. Have a good night,
my friend.
We'll talk to you guys later right here on the Colts Cast. Fly out. My man.
Let's air it out. Fly out. Let's air it out. Fly out. Let's air it out.